First Baptist Church of Redmond, December 26th, 2021, John Chapter 1, The Gift of Christmas Light.
We're talking about light all day today, and I'll mention the gift of Christmas light. I'll start by showing a manger that was be decorated. And do you decorate your house? Sometimes you decorate your house, your apartment. It's not been my tradition to decorate our house with lights. The most I think we did was we had a walkway with lights, and we found a light net, and one year we covered an exterior bush, but that's the extent of the lights we have. And we've never had the practice, but wow, there's some people who live to have Christmas decorations. I want to bring up the elements of a story. Three elements are used to tell a story. The first one is life is knocked out of balance. The plot then thickens. We have conflict, and the story ends either a balance is restored or the story fails to recover the previous balance. You know the stories. Who's that? The Grinch. I'm going to let the audience participate in telling the story. What did the Grinch steal? Try to steal. Yeah, he tried to steal the Christmas day, Christmas events from the Who's down in Whoville. But what did he ultimately do?
His heart grew 10 times.
Plus two. The Grinch stole Christmas and he gave it back. You know the movie, The Christmas Story. What happened? Most people in the crowd have never seen it. The story follows this young man, and he really wanted a Red Ryder BB gun. And his parents initially were against it, but he got the Red Ryder BB gun. What happens in A Christmas Carol? So Ebenezer Scrooge is very cheap. He's cheap with his workers. He's extracting things where it's difficult, but he gets visited by three spirits, and he reflects. He has a chance to think, and he becomes generous because it's easy for him to be generous. Think of the birth of Christ. The birth of Christ was a story like no other. The birth of Christ was when God became a man. I want to visit the three elements of a story. Life knocks out of balance. Why? Sin is not a part of us originally, but humanity sinned when Adam first sinned and he passed it on to us. Sin knocks life out of balance. You think of the numerous sins you have and practice versus the way that God wants us to be. See, we were made to walk in peace with God, but because of sin, we lost the connection. In biblical terms, when sin entered the world, the lights went out, and we couldn't see the way that God wanted us to walk on. Sin turns ugly and is subject to defeat only when seen in the light of Christ, of Christ's beauty. From that point forward, everyone is on a hopeless quest for seeking peace with God. We either sought to work our way to God through religion, or we sought peace in things, money, prestige, or power, or people. I read about a little boy in a Christmas program. His mom feared that he might forget his lines, so she positioned herself on the front row and she tried to prompt him with his one line. Sure enough, when it was his turn, he forgot his one line. So she mouthed the words, but to no avail, his mind was completely blank. Finally, she leaned forward and whispered the cue, "I am the light of the world." Ah, the child beamed with great feeling and belted out, "My mother is the light of the world." Well, not quite. People are things don't light the way. The one who lights the way to peace is Jesus. If we don't follow the light of God, we will always be cast in darkness. I'd like Daniel to return and read John 1:1-5.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it.
Thank you. It was on that first Christmas some 2,000 years ago that everything changed. God, who had been hidden by darkness, was revealed. The peace that everyone was working for was now being given away to those who would follow the light of Christ. When Jesus was born, the light came on. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." The rules of engagement with God changed. God, who was on high and lifted up, became lowly and could be found lying in a manger. The independent God became a dependent baby. God, who was known as Father, revealed himself as the Son. The untouchable became flesh and dwelt among us so we can see the way to peace. The second line of the story is the plot thickens. As you know, the story progresses. The plot thickened as the light of the world faced the resistance of the darkness. He was tempted in every way just as we are, yet he was without sin. He died a horrible death, and his light appeared to be snuffed out forever. But on the third day, God defeated the darkness and the antagonist of death. Why? How? By Jesus' resurrection. And the light came back on display forever. The third cue is restoration. Jesus came to us full of grace and truth. The truth that The light was turned on by grace. And when the light came on once for all, we could see the way to peace. At Christmas, God gave us the gift of light. And he said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. As we light our candles to celebrate these three beautiful truths, we need to remember and consider what God is saying. First, to signify that one silent night, Jesus stepped out of eternity and into time to shine the way to peace with God. Secondly, as we light our candles in celebration, we accept the gift of life by faith, and we have peace with God. Third, we light our candles in recognition of the peace that God gives us, and we have a purpose in life to glorify God. A Gallup poll was taken back in October and asked Americans to predict how much they'll spend on Christmas gifts this year. The average came in all ways to $805. You can see how Americans have spent throughout the times. You can understand that it changes, and it has gone down because of difficulties with supplies and the pandemic. You can understand it, can't you? Most of us probably plan on getting by with less, spending less, attending less parties, visiting family less, doing everything less. It's just that kind of year, and all winter at no Christmas kind of year. But what can you do about it? You could walk past Mark's gospel with this bare front yard. Mark doesn't have any references to the birth of Christ, and peer through his windows. There you'll be reminded again that it isn't about how Jesus came or how his birth was received, but why he came. When you celebrate Christmas with John Mark, he'll teach you that it's okay to skip Christmas, but you dare not skip Christ. You can skip Elizabeth, Zechariah, and their baby John too. You can skip Mary, Joseph, and the innkeeper. You can skip the shepherds, the angels, and the manger. You can skip the star, the wise men, wicked King Herod. You can skip the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You can skip it all. You can skip silent night, holy night. It came upon a midnight clear. You can skip the Christmas cantata, the singing Christmas tree, and the Christmas potluck fellowships. You can skip the presents, the stockings. You can skip Santa, Rudolph, and Frosty too. You can skip it all, but you must not, you dare not, skip Christ. How he came was a miracle. Why he came was mercy. He came under a star. He came to bear our sins. How he came is a matter of history. Why he came is bound up in prophecy. It really isn't so much about how Jesus came, but why. Matthew and Luke will gladly tell you how he came. Mark is anxious to tell you why he came. So go ahead, skip Christmas if you must, but don't skip Jesus.